So, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 78, verses 70 through 72 as our text for today. You know, leadership is a very hot topic. The election season is coming up, and we are electing our new political leaders, but leadership also affects if you are in business as a leader or a leader in your family. This message will apply to you too. Regardless what roles of leadership you have, this is a great passage that we can look at today about leadership. Let's not confuse a leader with being a boss. If a man works faithfully 8 hours a day, it's been said, he will eventually become a boss and work 12 hours a day. That's not necessarily a leader. Also, let's not confuse a leader with a politician. Politicians are like Columbus. When he sailed the ocean blue, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. When he went back home, he couldn't tell him where he had been, and he did it all with other people's money. So let's not be a politician as a leader. What is a leader? By definition, a leader is the first among equals. One who knows where he is going and is able to show people they need to go there too, and he can take them there. That's a good definition of a leader. A simple definition is a leader gets things done through people. From a Christian standpoint, we turn that around a little bit. A good leader gets people done through things. And best of all, a great and a godly leader helps people move on to God's agenda to do God's things so that they can mature in their faith and give honor and glory to God. The Bible is filled with some examples of leadership, good and godly leadership, also some examples of poor leadership. Church history is filled with good examples of church leadership, and even this church's history has good and great examples of leadership. And I think to understand leadership, one of the greatest passages in the Bible, to me a definitive passage, is the one we have before us, Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. This text has opened my eyes a little bit to understand leadership. It's a text that we can use to apply to any leader, any area of responsibility. So let me read this for you. If you will stand, please. It's up on the screen. Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes with nursing lambs. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them with his skillful hands. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word speaks to us in all areas of our life, and today we want to look specifically at the role of leadership. All of us in some way are leaders. Help us understand what it means to be a great and a godly leader today from your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Great 4 points here in this passage to talk to us. What makes a great leader? Leadership secrets of King David. This chapter kind of outlines an overview of the history of Israel, and it wraps up with this great description of King David. It begins, first of all, he chose David his servant. First of all, leaders are chosen by God. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of ewes with nursing young, he brought him. God chooses us. God calls us. Calling is God's personal invitation to you and to me to work on his agenda, to use our talents and gifts that he has given to us to change lives for eternity, to give glory to God. We see David's calling in David's life. A couple passages of scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Remember when Samuel was looking for the next king, he went to Jesse's family and he went through all the sons of Jesse, couldn't find the right one. Finally, he chooses David. And the scriptures tell us, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God saw David's heart. and he called him to be a leader. Verse 13, it says of that passage, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. God had called him. A great summary verse of David's ministry is 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 9. David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. A great leader, God is with him. He can serve God, he can serve man. How has God called you? God has called you to serve your family. Maybe God has called you to serve in this church. Maybe God has called you to serve in this community. Maybe God has called you to serve an elected office. How has God called you? Maybe he's called you in business. Maybe he's called you in education. How has God called you? And in that calling, do you recognize God's leading in your life? And do you seek to honor him and to serve him? I think a good passage to see this is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Love the book of Ecclesiastes. There's some great themes in this book. Chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 says this, "For there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him?" One of the books I read in researching for this message said this about this passage. It says, "A non-Christian in the work world does not have nearly the sense of meaning in his career that a Christian experiences. He does the work, but he does not receive the same enjoyment, the same meaning, the same satisfaction as available to a Christian. Only a Christian can serve God's purposes, can know God's calling, and can experience God's gift of meaning." That's good. That helps us understand there is purpose in our work, purpose in our calling. And then we also need to understand that it is Jesus who is calling me, not my job. Unless we understand that distinction, the joy Jesus calls us can lead to actually end up calling us away from Jesus. Whatever God has called you to do, whether it's in your home, in your business, in your work, whatever it is, God has placed you there. Your ministry is first of all to him. If you don't see him in your ministry, the joy of the ministry isn't there. Our identity is in our relationship with God through Jesus. Our identity is not in our job. You know, too often as pastors, we find our identity in our job because we tie the spirituality with our work together. But even as a pastor, our identity is in our calling, our relationship with Jesus. And then, through Jesus, he works through us in our ministry. You know, Psalms 139, verse 5 says this, "You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand on me." We are unique. All of us are designed by God for his glory. What has God called you to do? To serve your family? Your work, your community. How has God called you? You know, God called me into the ministry. Psalm 56, verse 13 is my theme verse. "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of his living." I read that passage as a teenager, and I said, "Lord, thank you for what you have done for me. Now what can I do for you?" And that was my calling in the ministry. I've been a pastor for 41 years. My dad believed that he was called to be a farmer. My mother was called to be a homemaker. What's God called you to do? God has called each of us to serve him. So first of all, leaders are chosen by God. The second thing in this passage in Psalm 78 is leaders shepherd people. Verse 71, "To shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance." The word shepherd means to care for others. It's the idea of working on their behalf. The motif of a shepherd shows to us a picture of tender, loving care. There's about 55 references to shepherd in the Bible. classic passage about shepherding, of course, is Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Of course, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our shepherd. He takes care of us. And He is the premier example of leadership in our lives. King David, who wrote Psalm 23, could be called the Shepherd King. He led Israel wisely. He cared for His people. One passage in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15 says, "So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people." In the history of the nation of Israel, David probably is considered the most gentle, the greatest of kings. Solomon was honored for his wisdom and his leadership in leading the wealth of the land, but the favorite king of all of Israel was really King David. In the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, it lists several kings, but only one is referred to as the king, and that is David. He was the premier example of a shepherd. He cared for his people. He nurtured his people. Throughout Scripture, you know, Peter was told by Jesus after the resurrection to shepherd the lambs, and Peter started the Church of Jesus Christ. Elders in Acts and in 1 Peter are told to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, to shepherd the flock of God among you. Elders are to shepherd. Now, the word pastor is only found one time in the New Testament, but the idea of a pastor is that of a shepherd, one who cares tenderly with love for his people. Leaders care for the people they lead. Leaders have a heart of love for the people they serve. And they serve with their giftedness. You know, what are our spiritual gifts for? You know, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 talk about spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts for? They are for the benefit of other people. What's your spiritual gift? Think about that for a moment. Every one of us, as a Bible believer, we have a spiritual gift. What's your spiritual gift? Whatever that gift or gifts are, you use them to serve other people. About 30 years ago, I was at a pastor's conference in northern Minnesota. Got that? Minnesota. They had snow up there, by the way. And you're going up to Duluth. God bless you. Be warm and be filled. I was at a pastor's conference. Never forget it. And the speaker at the pastor conference, he said this simple statement. He said, "People tend to follow leaders who care for them." That's good. Let me repeat it. People tend to follow leaders who care for them. A leader cares for those who he serves. Who do you care for? What's your sphere of influence? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's this church. Maybe it's your employees. Maybe it's the county. Maybe it's the state. Do you care for those who you serve? Leaders are called by God, and leaders shepherd people. The third thing about leadership is in verse 72. "So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart." Leaders have integrity. Good definition of integrity is they're undefiled, they're upright, they're pure, they're whole, they have a commitment to truth, they stand for what is right. They're morally upright. Character integrity is very important in leadership. Leaders need integrity. It's not an option. It's the first to be checked. Integrity is built over time and it is tested over time. A person of integrity lives what he believes and is trustworthy. Proverbs 11, verse 3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the foolishness of the treacherous will destroy them." Integrity involves honesty and dignity, and honesty is the best policy. David's a great example of all of this. Again, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, "David was a man after God's own heart." God saw a heart of faith. His psalms that he wrote 73 of them, at least in the book of Psalms, they show his heart of faith. He was a humble man, 2 Samuel 7:18. He said, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" He was humble. When he sinned, he admitted his sin, such as with Bathsheba. It was a very costly sin, but he was forgiven. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, "I have sinned against the Lord." And then he wrote two psalms about his forgiveness. When he counted the people and a plague came, he said, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted foolishly." Integrity admits our failures. Integrity seeks divine guidance for the decisions we make. When a famine came upon the nation of Israel, 2 Samuel 21, verse 1, it said, David sought the presence of the Lord. When you're faced with situations, what's the first thing you do? Well, I can tell you honestly, the first thing I do sometimes is not pray. That really should be the first thing I do, to seek God's wisdom. David knew the primacy of worship in 2 Samuel chapter 6. He danced before the Lord. He offered sacrifices. He blessed people. And when he built an altar for worship, the owner of the land was willing to give him the land, and he insisted he pay for it. He says, "I will not offer burnt sacrifices to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing." That's integrity. And David was a man of integrity. He was not perfect by any means. But when he failed, he sought God's forgiveness. He confessed his sin. David lived integrity. Leaders must demonstrate integrity. One author, in describing Billy Graham, said, "Integrity avoids all appearance of evil while seeking the approval of God." Let me say that one again. Integrity avoids all appearance of evil while seeking the approval of God. That's good. Leaders with integrity, they know how to manage their time, their talents, and their treasures wisely. A leader's not perfect, but a leader knows the one who is perfect and models his life after the character of Jesus, the greatest leader of all. And now, the last point of this. Leaders have skill. David guided them with his skillful hands. Definition of skill is proficiency, ability, expertness, the ability to do your job well and know what to do and how to do it. That's skill. Leaders know how to lead. They're out front. They know where they're going. They know how to get to where they got to go, and they know how to show others how to get there. And he has the skills to do it. Skills are trusted because the leader has integrity. David had skills. He first shows up on the scene by killing Goliath, the giant. David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I will strike you down. All may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's." That was skill. Only one stone brought David. David used to bring Goliath down. He was skillful. He was a poet. He gave us at least 73 psalms. He was a military leader. He was an expert in victory over their enemies. He was a king of Israel for 40 years. He had a great counselor named Nathan. He made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. When he failed and sinned, he confessed his sin. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are his examples. Again, David was not perfect, but he was redeemed. God was his God and his supreme commander. So David could lead with skill. And really, again, he was noted as the greatest king of Israel. And through his line, of course, came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, verse 23, it says, "He raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will." And his epitaph, really, on his tombstone could have been 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 28. "Then he died a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor." When we serve with skill, we have the ability to be initiative, to serve with enthusiasm and encouragement. We know how to plan. We can be visionary. We can be idea people, resource people. We take risks, and we are people of faith. Skill is both intuitive and learned. You can learn skill by academics, through job training, through experience, through observation, even by your mistakes. You can learn skill. I began the ministry in 1981, pastored a little church in Illinois. And I need to tell you that when I began the ministry, I knew everything. I mean, I was educated. I mean, I knew everything. Didn't take me long to find out I didn't know much at all. And I had to learn all over again. I remember when I graduated from college, before that, the dean of education, the name of Dr. William Bevere, and I had great respect for him. He was a great man. And I remember he congratulated me, and I said, "Thank you very much, Dr. Bevere. My education is finished." He just smiled at me and says, "Your education has just begun." And I'm still learning. There's still things I need to know. How about you? What skills do you have that God can use? Are you a person of integrity? Do you care for people? How has God called you to lead? I first learned about these verses in graduate school. Never forget it. In 1994, I took a class with Moody Graduate School down in Florida. And our professor was named Tom Stevenin. And he took us to this passage of Scripture, especially verse 72. And he said to us, he said, "You can judge any leader by those two qualities, integrity and skill." He said, those are the two definitive qualities. He says, you can judge any leader, a pastor, a president even. In fact, he said, he says, let's analyze some of our presidents. Did they have integrity and did they have skill? And I won't go into the details of what we learned at that point, but think of, we're not going to do this out loud, but think of the presidents that we have had. Did they have integrity and did they have skill? And you will figure out that some of them had both integrity and skill. Some of them, you might have thought, had neither. Some of them might have had integrity but no skill. Some of them might have had skill but no integrity. You can do that with any leader, a business leader, a leader in school, a leader at your job, a leader in church, a leader at the family. Do they have integrity and do they have skill? Godly, good leaders have both. In fact, let me make the case here that in order to really have both, you need to be like David, a follower of God. In order to have both, in New Testament terms, Jesus Christ needs to be your Savior and your Lord. Because he's the one who forgives you of your faults and helps your integrity. He's the one who has gifted you so you can have the skills to serve. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. I made that decision when I was real young. I never forget. My parents led me to make a profession of faith. At a Bible camp years later, I made a public profession of faith. In your life, has there been a point in your life when you went to the Lord and said, I'm a sinner, Lord. I have failed you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me and come into my life and be my Savior, so I can be all that you want me to be, so I can enjoy you for all of eternity in heaven. When Jesus is our Savior, we can be tremendous leaders of integrity and skill. Jesus took 11 disciples, plus the Apostle Paul, and those 12 guys literally changed the world with their integrity and their skill because they were followers of Jesus. You and I can do the same by God's grace. But we have to have both integrity and skill, and we have to be called of God. He calls us, and we have to care for people. Sometimes in the ministry, people are in the way. I can honestly tell you that driving a bus would be a whole lot easier if nobody would ride. I tell truck drivers, like Glenn, your load doesn't talk back to you. Enjoy it. Leaders care for people. Leaders are called by God. Leaders are morally upright. They're honest. They're truthful. What you see is who they are. They have integrity. And they have skills, abilities to get things done for God's kingdom. Abilities to help people in their journey of life. Abilities that change churches and communities and nations. God leads. And as a believer in Jesus, look what we get to do. Look how we get to serve Him. So whatever your role is, whether it's in your home, in your school, at your place of work, in your community, even if you're in a government position, God can use you because He has called you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. It's very practical. Thank You so much that You have given to us the gospel of Jesus, the salvation of our souls. And thank You that Your word can guide and direct us in every area of our life. The Bible is Your instruction book for living here on earth. And Lord, we thank You that when Jesus is at the center of our life, we can be all that You want us to be, so we can do all that You want us to do. So thank You for the opportunity we've had to worship together today. Thank You for just opening up Your word. Thank You for these good folks here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Bless this church, their pastor, their leaders. Help this church to make a great difference for the kingdom of God. Pray these things in Jesus' name.